Your reasons for listening to the show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed your day so far. A couple of ways you can get a hold of me. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two D's, tuttle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail or a text. Same number works for both of them. 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044. I've been getting the last little bit of stuff moved out of the Hobo Fish Camp. If you go to my any of my social media, my Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, posted a really, really cool picture of the sunset last night. It's a really great neighborhood. I really do think my mom's going to like it. It's going to have a lot more room. But I got to tell you, this move could not have come at a worse time. I'm pretty much feeling, I would say, 75% after my battle with COVID. I can only imagine what it would have been like if I would not have had the vaccine. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, well, why am I not getting the vaccine? I'm getting the vaccine because it doesn't help. Well, I guess I've seen the stats. A lot of the people that have had the vaccine have not ended up being hospitalized. And on top of that, I got the Dr. Dan Diaco set up. I got the monoclonal antibodies on top of the hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin. And it was able to make me kick out. But the main thing that I'm having the biggest problem with is just getting exhausted. And that's the other thing. I could have only imagined if I would have gotten COVID when I was still, like, unhealthy. I was still drinking. Man, I would have been in really, really bad shape, but I've been working out. You know, my cardio is good. Got a lot of good muscle on me, lean muscle right now. And I'm still exhausted. And I'm still dealing with a little bit of the voice issue. It's really, really getting fatigued towards the end of the day. But the moving, it's like nonstop. A lot of people probably think we're a bunch of pikey gypsies because of all this stuff. You wouldn't think living in such a small little space that we would have just collected as much stuff as we have. And I told my mom, because my mom's a little bit of a pack rat, and I told her, I was like, look, you don't want to just take all the stuff that we've rarely ever used here and put it in your new crib. So there's a lot of stuff we're getting rid of. She went through all the stuff that was in the shed and the stuff that she didn't want. I've got out on the picnic table, and a lot of the people are going to come over later on. We're going to kind of wheel and deal a little bit. I don't think I'll make a lot, but any little bit will help. So I'm doing that, and I've just been really, really tired. That's the biggest thing. And I hope that I'm not going to end up like one of those COVID long haulers, where I'm just going to be dealing with this exhaustion for a long period of time. I hope that really doesn't happen. Got a lot of great stories today. Going to be talking about the officer who died up in the Carolinas. His brother was the one that actually hit him. He was also a police officer responding to a call, ended up hitting him. Some little young bitch ended up slapping an old man because she got into an argument with them over a face mask. Some dude tried to burn down the Key West buoy. You know that buoy that's 90 miles away from Cuba? They took a couple of old Christmas trees and lit them on fire. But the first story I wanted to get into, and I could see where the parents would be pissed off, but also at the same time, I could also see where somebody's looking to get paid. See, you really can't trust anything that anybody does at face value now. But this is here in Volusia County, I think. Could be, I know it is Central Florida. But this kid and his parents are now wanting an apology, and they're actually got a lawyer now, and you know that somebody's going to bring a lawsuit. But the kid was forced to eat pepperoni pizza.
We're just distraught by the whole situation. We don't understand how this could have happened.
This is the student's father. And if I wouldn't have told you what this whole hubbub was about, I sound really old when I say hubbub, but you would almost think that this guy is so distraught, the way he's describing it, that his kid was molested by a coach or a teacher, the principal, the janitor, the school resource officer. It was a big molestation gangbang, the way this guy is making it sound. Because like I said, if I wouldn't have told you this was all over pepperoni pizza, you'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe this guy's kid got raped.
We want to get to the bottom of it as well. And if we have to go through a lawsuit to do it, well then, it's on.
Local attorney Ed Gilbert didn't mince words today, speaking about an alleged incident involving a 17-year-old Canton McKinley student.
All right. I mean, I've told you guys a lot of times, I only like just glance over the news stories because I do like to get my first reaction on everything, because I really do think it makes for better, more compelling content to get my first reaction out of this. But this is almost even worse. This lawyer is making it sound so bad that he's like just eyeing it up for a lawsuit. He's wanting to get his little bit of a fee off of the payday that these parents are going to get. And like I said, my comments still stand. I was wrong that this was the kid's father, but this lawyer, like I said, he's selling it like this was a molestation.
The father says his son missed practice due to an injury, then was forced to eat a pepperoni pizza as punishment. However, the family hasn't eaten pork in nearly 10 years as part of the dietary rules of the Hebrew-Israeli religious faith.
All right. I mean, I could understand why the parents would be upset, but I mean, how devout, how much of a practicing Jewish family is this? Or were they just mad? Because look, I got to play devil's advocate here sometimes. I got to, you know, ask questions. How Jewish is this family? Because I know, like, if I was pissed, and why would you be pissed about pepperoni pizza? By the way, just pick the pepperonis off. That was the first thing that I thought of. Or are you not allowed to eat something that pork has touched? These are all questions that I need answers to.
Makes you question, are they, you know, doing a job? Or are they capable of doing a job? Or is it, I mean, obviously, I feel like the culture is broke.
Gilbert and Walker say the child has indicated to coaches in the past that he doesn't eat pork and said so at least 10 times during the incident.
I'm not, like, calling this family a liar. I'm really, really not. But I also find it hard to believe. If this kid was hurt and missed practice, and they were like, oh, we're mad at you. Instead of making you run laps and stuff, we're going to make you eat pepperoni pizza. I don't buy it. I really, really do not buy this whole story. But, like I said, I've been wrong a lot. But the news media also does not ask or dare to ask these type of questions because they're afraid. They are absolutely afraid. And I'm just throwing it out there because there are so many other things that a coach could do and like make you run until you basically puke your guts out. But you can't even do that anymore. You can't. I remember when I was a wrestler, if we were overweight, well, I never was overweight as a wrestler because my biggest fear, because if you're a little over, like, say, I don't know, quarter pound, and they'll make you strip all the way nude. And that was the last thing that I wanted to do. I'm not saying that I got a small penis, but I don't lay nice soft. I just don't. I think a lot of guys are that way. I don't know. Would you give up erection size just to be able to have a better showing penis when it's soft? I've thought about that quite a bit. Because it is something that guys think about. because guys aren't ready to go all the time. Guys want to be a little chubbed up before they get naked in front of a woman the first time. And the same thing goes when you're having to get nude. Sorry, I'm coughing because of my damn voice issues because of COVID. Damn you, COVID. But the last thing that I wanted to do is strip down naked, because I'm telling you right now, a lot of African-Americans on my wrestling team, oh man, they made me look really, really bad. But there's so many other things that you could do. They made us wear plastic bags to lose weight if we were ever close. Dangerous as hell. Could have just, like I said, made them run. Could have made them run the bleachers at the football stadium. But oh no. Don't bust me up, coach. Don't make me eat this pepperoni pizza.
They say while head coach Marcus Watley and the other assistants did eventually let him pick off the pepperoni and some of the cheese, he was still made to eat the pizza.
Okay. I'm sorry. This story is sounding more and more suspicious, in my opinion. I mean, the coaches, they let him pick the pepperoni off. And they even let him pick off some of the cheese in case you got some of that pepperoni grease or that pepperoni juice on that. I really, really don't see a problem. And I know that I'm kind of, you know, jacking Bubba the Love Sponge Sam, but he is right. Pussification of America. We are making soft men in our country. I really do think we're going to be in big, big problems if we ever have to go to war with Russia and China or any of these other big countries. I don't think some of the soft kids that we're raising today are going to be up for it. I know that I never volunteered, but if there was a draft and things got really, really bad and they needed me, yeah, I would go. Do I think I would make it past the war? No, I'd probably come home in a body bag if I'm just being honest.
And is seeking counseling after the ordeal.
His mom is taking him to therapy, and hopefully he will be able to work out his depression as a result of this.
All right. See, I told you I don't listen to a lot of these stories coming into it, but the parents, the attorneys, they are hard selling this whole thing. Give me a break. Depression over having to eat pepperoni pizza? What the hell is going on with our youth and the way the parents are raising them? It just drives me up the wall. There's way many other things to be depressed about. You know, a lot of kids have just suffered through childhood trauma, and eating pepperoni pizza, I don't think that falls under childhood trauma. I could be wrong. I mean, everybody's personal experience is different, but therapy, give me a break.
The Canton McKinley School District and board haven't responded for comment on this allegation, but we have learned that 8 coaches have been placed on administrative leave. While the school won't confirm that this is the reason why, they did say they received a report of an incident during the football team's strength and conditioning practice from May 24th, and that it's under investigation.
We have asked them to talk with the coach. We've asked them to give an audience with us. They have not done so.
The boy's father says he did have a meeting with the superintendent right after the incident, but the school hasn't responded since. So if they won't meet to discuss what happened, he and Gilbert are ready to file.
And I know a lot of you guys are probably thinking, the school board's trying to hide something because the coach, they won't allow the coach to be able to talk to the parent or the lawyer. No, I mean, they got to play it that way. You got to play it smart. Because whatever you tell the parents and the lawyers could be used against you. And the only way what I would walk into that room and talk to the parents and the lawyer is a guarantee that you're not going to sue in the future. And I just think it's playing smart. And I know a lot of people out there are probably like, no, you're wrong, Tuttle. They did this kid wrong. We're talking about pepperoni pizza, people. Pepperoni pizza. We're talking about pizza. Kids love pizza. And we're talking about pepperoni pizza here?
We would like to work this out, but they have chosen not to work it out. And they have chosen not to speak to us, so we have no choice but to move forward in a court of law, and that'll be very soon.
At the beginning of the show, I promoted about the 2 drunk dudes down in Key West that vandalized the 90 miles to Cuba buoy marker. It's one of the most famous landmarks down in Key West. I've been to Key West a couple of times. Everybody thinks it's a small little town, and it is. It is a very small little town. But man, oh man, just when you think you're almost at Key West because you're about to hit that, like, 9-mile bridge, I think that's what they call it, it still takes you forever. You really can't pass anybody down there. You got to go, if you're in Key West, you got to go to the Hemingway House and check out the mutated cats, the six-toe cats down in Key West, I guess that belonged to Ernest Hemingway. But Key West is not all that it's cracked up to be. It's a little rundown, in my opinion, a little overpriced for that small little town. And it's mostly just a bunch of cretins, people that want to get away, people that just want to party. I haven't spent a lot of time down there, but I've been down there a couple of times. Every time that I've been to Key West was whenever I was on the Monsters in the Morning cruise. We used to go on a cruise every single year. First couple of ones were really, really fun when I was single. The single cruises were really, really great. Now, the ones when I was married, not so great. Not great at all. We went on like a 9 or 10 day cruise one year. That's just a little too long. You know, you're on a cruise with a bunch of listeners, and I'm not saying anything bad about the listeners, but you can't even step out of your room without somebody up your ass all the time. It's not like you can do anything by yourself or your significant other, because I went on a couple of them when I was married. It was no fun. Because when I was married, I couldn't drink. I hated those. I hated them. Because I couldn't have any fun. I had to be on my best behavior because my wife was there. And that was towards the end. And look, I don't want anybody to think that I'm trashing her. I'm sure I wasn't a walk in the park as well. No, I was mostly to blame for the end of the marriage. We also went to Jamaica one time, too. And that was 13 days down in hedonism. That was a little too long as well, too. But I digress. Every time I went to Key West was right before we went to Cozumel, we would always stop in Key West, and everything was way overpriced. I mean, it's just like Orlando being a tourist destination without the theme parks. I went down there, I think my mom and dad went down there one time, and they paid like $20, $25 for a small pizza. And it wasn't even that great a pizza. Not like Key West is known for their Italian cuisine. But they got that buoy. Everybody goes down. Hell, I've even had my pictures taken in front of that buoy. But these two drunk dudes thought it would be a great idea to go down there and light a Christmas tree right up against. They laid the Christmas tree right up against the 90 miles to Cuba buoy, and they lit it on fire. And I used to do this. If you're a white trash, redneck, Florida cracker, everybody has done it. I swear to God, a dried up Christmas tree lit on fire. You don't even have to put gas on it. Do not even have to put any accelerant on it at all. And those Christmas trees are more flammable than gasoline itself.
Turning now to a fire police say was no accident. And tonight they want you to take a good look at your screen as they search for the two men who were seen setting a Christmas tree on fire right in front of an iconic Key West landmark. Here's NBC6's Ryan Nelson.
Key West police say they've identified the men responsible for this fire that damaged an iconic landmark of Key West.
I never really paid attention to what this buoy is made of. And it's not like they hired some, like, professional guy to paint this buoy. And they're talking it's an iconic landmark. Now, I would rather go see this six-toe Hemingway cats all day long. There's also a lot of chickens. Chickens for days just running wild all through the streets of Key West. Maybe that's why there's a lot of homeless people there. Because, I mean, Florida is known for a lot of their homeless people. Orlando, Tampa, all the big cities in Florida are running rampant with homeless people. But if I was a homeless person coming to Florida, I would definitely pick Key West. You would want a place where if you didn't make a bunch of money panhandling that day, you wouldn't have to freak out about it, because you could always just go out and catch a chicken, cut its head off, pluck all the feathers off of it, gut it. Well, if I was homeless, I'd probably eat all the sweetbreads, all the organs. But you have food on deck all day long when it comes to chickens just roaming the streets. But this buoy is it seems like they probably got a cousin or a second cousin or maybe a drunk uncle of one of the councilmen down in Key West. And they were like, hey, you know somebody? You want to paint this buoy? Because it's not like it's the most professional, best-looking, artistic job, paint job. And I just think it's a concrete slab that they formed to look like a buoy.
Flames engulfing a Christmas tree, shooting into the air, and scorching the face of the iconic Key West southernmost point buoy.
This is an insult to the Florida Keys and Key West tourism industry. It's also an insult to the Key West community.
Look, I have no problem. Look, Key West is a place where it's like anything goes. And people are acting like, oh, don't come down and disrespect our city. No, you guys have Fantasy Fest. I've seen some of the pictures of Fantasy Fest. And it is old, wrinkled, stretched out gay men's balls just walking down the streets every single day. Flat, pulled down, sagging asses, because a lot of them like to wear assless chaps running the streets, and I have nothing against it. But let's not act like it is a disrespectful thing when you invite those type of people, not gay. I'm just talking about just drunk cretins, alcoholics, drug addicts. I used to be one of them, so I'm not judging any of them. But don't act like you're shocked. I can't believe that this hasn't happened at least once or twice a year. And when you have somebody out there to guard this iconic landmark that you say it is, because those dudes sat out there for a while drinking Natty and Bush Lights with the Christmas tree, old dried up Christmas tree, leaned up against the buoy. You guys really don't care that much about that iconic landmark, do you?
Key West police say they've identified the men behind the fiery overnight vandalism. Surveillance cameras from marketing company Two Oceans Digital were rolling as the men walked up to the southernmost point buoy with a Christmas tree. They hang out by the buoy for several minutes, waving to passing cars, even stopping to take pictures.
Why not? Of course you got to do it for the gram. I mean, look. You got to automatically assume that they got cameras on that rundown so-called iconic landmark that a lot of bums just pee on every single night. Come on. I'm sure everybody has peed on that buoy. I've been down there. Smelled exactly like urine. Probably Hemingway's six-toed cats even go down there to put some cat piss on it. But yeah, of course, you got to document that. Or all your social media. I mean, it's just an unwritten rule.
When the coast is clear, they light the tree on fire. As the fire grows, they appear to record a video.
By the way, like I said, no accelerants needed. All you got to do is get one little needle going on a dried up Christmas tree. This video looked like it was in black and white. I couldn't tell if it was just because it was dark. But you could tell if a Christmas tree is all dried out. I mean, you could even see the needles falling off of it. You already had a pile of dried up Christmas tree needles down at the bottom. So like I said, you only got to get one needle going. And once it gets going, yes, look out.
Before running away, minutes later, Key West officers and firefighters are there.
That southernmost point marker is an icon. It's been there for many, many years.
The damage did not stop tourists from posing next to the iconic marker on Saturday, now appearing as just a fraction of what it once was.
You know, these two guys actually probably were like, man, they haven't replaced the paint job on that concrete slab fashioned into a buoy. It makes us look bad. You know, we already got all these problems. We got the six-toed cats, chickens running across the street. We got Fantasy Fest. We got all these cruise people coming. Yeah. needs to get done. Key West needs to be proud of something. And those guys probably did it. They did it for the Graham. They did it for the pride of Key West.
The city says it will be repairing the landmark in the next 5 to 7 days. Ryan Nelson, NBC 6 News.
All right, before I get into my next story, I want to start off by saying I completely support law enforcement. I support all Leos. I know that there are some bad apples. I know a lot of people hate the cops. But the cops do a job that not a lot of people want to do. They put their lives on the line every single day. I in no way ever think that I could ever be a cop. Because I would want to go home to my family. I would want to be able to be breathing the next day when I wake up in the morning. And I would, I admit, I would have an itchy trigger finger. Because I would be ready. I would want to be faster on the draw every time I walked up to a car. And that's why I would never, ever think of being a police officer. But this is a very tragic story. And yeah, I'm going to give my opinion on it. I also don't want anybody to think that I'm being disrespectful because this is a sad story. I'm an only child. I don't have any other siblings. I don't have any brothers or sisters. So I really don't know what that brotherly love is. What you would do. See, that's the other bad thing is that being an only child, I just lost my dad. I only have relationships with not even a handful. Besides my mom, maybe 3, 4, a handful of people outside of that. And after that, I really don't have anything. So yeah, I would have loved to have had a brother or a sister and stuff. Because you have that bond from what I've seen. But this next story is just very, very tragic.
This rural part of Rutherford County is a tight-knit community.
You just don't go out and to see something like this has happened.
Okay, I'm going to pull back the curtain a little bit. When it comes to broadcasting, you know, the news media, the TV news media, local, state, well, I don't know, they don't have state TV stations, but national, they always do this. They're all guilty of doing it, even though they won't admit it. They go out and they find the dumbest sounding people that they can. Now, keep in mind, this is South Carolina. So it'd be kind of hard to find somebody that sounds like they have a high school education or even a college education. But they do this all the time. Now, remember when that tornado just destroyed that whole town in Kentucky? You can't tell me there's no intelligent sounding people in that city. No, they went for the dumbest, slack-jaw, inbred sounding people they could find.
To be a tragedy, everybody knows them.
Which makes this that much harder for people like Connie Fite.
It's hard for any of us because, like I said, we watch out for each other around here. We try to help anybody.
She lives down the street from this intersection.
I still take 30 goose road through. We need help fast.
Where tragedy struck Monday night.
My husband looked out the door and he seen the blue light.
I'm sorry. I'm not laughing. Look, I know this is a sad story. That's why I gave my little speech before I got into this. But, come on. I walked out. I seen the blue lights flashing.
And so he took off out there and came back and he said it was really bad.
A commander with North Carolina State Highway Patrol says it started when Trooper John Horton attempted to pull over a vehicle. He asked for assistance from another trooper, his brother.
Now, this is where it comes in. A lot of you guys are probably like, why the hell was Tuttle talking about brothers, siblings, family members? This is the reason why. And I don't think I could ever bounce back from that. Because, like, I talked about, the first thing that popped into my head when I tested positive for COVID was like, man, if I went to the Gators game and caught COVID and brought it home and gave it to my mom, and she died. I just don't think then I could bounce back from that, especially after just losing my father.
While heading that way, law enforcement officials say Trooper James Horton lost control of his car, crashing into his brother and the detained driver.
Now, once again, I love how I got to cover my ass all the time now. This is not a busy intersection. It's exactly what you would think when you think of the state of South Carolina. What the hell happened? Why did he lose control? Was it equipment malfunction? Did the brakes go out? Did he blow out a tire? What the hell happened? Because I do not understand how you crash into your brother, and I'm not just talking fellow brother law enforcement, your brother. And I'm not going to jump to conclusions here, but I just find it curious that you're responding to a call, not in a very busy area, and then you smash into your brother and the suspect that he had pulled over. That's why I'm going to wait until the investigation is done. But I'm also saying I won't be shocked if something else comes out that led to this accident.
Everybody got a helicopter.
Fight says when she heard how bad it was, she and her neighbor went to help.
I called my neighbor, which is a nurse, because there weren't an ambulance there yet.
I know that I'm going to be stereotyping when I say this. How many packs of Camel cigarettes do you think this broad is smoking a day? Because, man, she's got a real deep voice. When got my neighbor, you know, she's a nurse. She's edumacated. Thought she might be able to help.
And she went out, her and her daughter, and I went back out with her. And we tried to see if we could help, and she started doing CPR.
Heard it before you saw it.
Jessica Parker heard the sirens.
My heart goes out to them, and I'm praying for them.
The Rutherford County Sheriff, along with family and close friends of Trooper Horton, say their hearts are broken. And as the flag waves at half staff outside the sheriff's office,
something happens, we're all stuck together. We're going to stick together.
Fight says they're leaning on the community they know to get through this sadness.
I forgot to talk about this. You know, at the beginning of this audio story that I was playing, you heard that hammering. That hammering right at the beginning. And they were showing a video. They were putting up one of those roadside memorials. And these roadside memorials usually start with a cross. And then a lot of people will just bring all these trinkets, these bears, these cards, these flowers. And all the law enforcement is constantly talking about littering. What is the good timetable about this? Because I've seen some of these road memorials. I talk about this all the time. I-4 is the deadliest road and one of the shortest roads in the United States. And when you're traveling from Daytona to Tampa or Orlando to Tampa or, vice versa, the whole side of the road on I-4, the interstate, is littered with these roadside memorials. And they're cool when they first start because they're all pristine, clean. All the bears and stuffed animals and stuff, they're all clean. But after a while, they just look like dog crap. Is there a good timetable to be able to leave those up? How long do you leave them there before, the road patrols or the road rangers stop and they're able to pick them up? Or do you just leave them? Because after a while, it's just going to look like litter. And I'm sorry, I don't need to be reminded of my impending doom or possible impending doom when I'm traveling from Orlando to Tampa all the time. Or maybe it's a good thing. Maybe it's a good thing because it's a reminder for you guys to put on your seatbelts and be vigilant when you're driving down the road, trying to avoid tourists that have absolutely no idea where they're going. Don't use turn signals to get off of the interstate. I would like to get your feedback. You can email me, tuttle@gmail.com, TUDDLE@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-TUDDLE. 3044.
Now, Trooper Horton was married to his wife, who was his high school sweetheart. They had six children together. Right now, they're figuring out all those funeral arrangements, but tell us there will likely be some kind of public memorial closer to the end of the week at the Isothermal Community College in Spindale. In Rutherford County, Melanie Palmer, 7 News.
Melanie, thank you. As for the driver who was detained and also killed in the accident, he was identified as 26-year-old Dusty Beck of South Carolina.
And I've said this before. I said the same thing about the Markeith Lloyd incident. You know, Markeith Lloyd here in Orlando ended up shooting his pregnant girlfriend. She died. The baby died. And he was on the run for a while. And then he ended up shooting Deborah Clayton and killing her. And there was another officer that was on a motorcycle. He was a motorcycle cop, Orange County Sheriff's Department. And he was responding to a officer down. And he ended up getting hit and killed in a separate incident while trying to respond to Deborah Clayton being shot and killed. I've always said I thought Markeith Lloyd should have gotten charged for the death of the other officer, the motorcycle sheriff's officer that was responding. And I also think that this guy that was running from the cop and he was having issues, when this guy's brother was trying to show up to the incident, I think that guy should be charged, not with murder, but definitely manslaughter. Because if you weren't being an idiot, this guy could have handled it on his own. And when he had to call other law enforcement officers to respond, I don't know if it would have been, he knew it was going to be his brother. I really do think that this guy should be charged with manslaughter for the death of that officer. Ended up having to call an audible. I was going to play the audio of the woman slapping the elderly man because they got into an argument on an airplane about wearing masks. I talked about this yesterday about Ron DeSantis and the press conference where Ben Frazier was arrested. I might change my mind a little bit on that. I need to do my own research because now they're claiming that the guy has disrupted other meetings and was disrespectful. And I'm not one of those guys. Look, I can admit when I was wrong. And if this guy has caused problems in the past. Now, depending on what he did, you know, this could be coming from his camp. Who knows? I'm going to do my own research. But he did another press conference today. And when I first heard this audio, because I do a lot of audio editing, I got a great ear to be able to hear if something's edited. When I first heard this, I was like, man, this almost sounds like they put an effect over his voice. Because Ron DeSantis in this audio I'm about to play for you, he's the only one talking. So it would have been very, very easy for you to be able to edit his voice. But he even in the audio clip, it says, excuse me, for the way his voice sounded. I'm dealing with voice issues because I had COVID last week. I've been suffering from voice fatigue later on in the day. And, you know, should the governor, look, I support all the HIPAA laws and rules about medical privacy, but should an elected official, especially as high up as Ron DeSantis is, as the governor, should he have to disclose that he had COVID or was battling it? Because one of his biggest opponents, Nikki Fried, who is going to be running for the Democratic nomination for governor in the state of Florida, has been calling him out. And I thought it was kind of BS when Nikki Fried was calling him out. I was like, because she was talking about, oh, we haven't seen Ron DeSantis out in public. He hasn't talked to the media. He hasn't been on camera. But it was during the holiday break, Christmas, New Year's. And I'm completely fine if the governor wants to take a time out, spend time with friends and family for 2 weeks at the end of the year. But now, after hearing this audio, I kind of know why he hadn't been seen for a couple weeks.
Brad Ferguson, Senior VP and General Manager, SkyWater Florida.
We've all been there when you're talking and you get that air bubble. It sounds like Governor DeSantis is trying to deliver this speech with an air bubble stuck in his throat. And you could do one of two things. You can stop what you're doing, swallow the air bubble or cough, and then go about your business. Or did he not think that people couldn't hear the way his voice sounded? It sounds exactly like he had an air bubble in his throat, or it's a little trembly. His voice is definitely trembling.
And Dale Miller, site director, SkyWater Florida, as well as Representative Fred Hawkins.
I don't know. The more and more I'm listening to it, definitely sounds like an air bubble. But because, like I said, this audio, you can hear that big hiss in the background. And when you put a filter on something, sometimes it raises the background noise. That's why I thought this audio was edited at first, because it had a big, noticeable hiss in the background.
Manufacturing is something that we need to do a better job of. And we've worked really hard in Florida to have...
Oh, man. Did you hear that? Look, if you're listening to this, hopefully you're listening to this on good speakers in a car and not just on your phone. Oh, if you got headphones, put it on. Did you just hear that big gasp of air that he was trying to get into his lungs?
More opportunities with vocational education. We have expanded our manufacturing footprint in the state of Florida, and we want to continue to be able to do that as we go forward.
Now, he also sounds like he's got a stopped up nose. Look, I'm not nitpicking. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to be one of those content providers that has an agenda. I do not have an agenda. Like I said, if he did have COVID, I really do think that we need to respect his HIPAA laws. Like, if he wants to keep his medical history, his medical treatment private, he has a right to do that. But I also, like, if the governor, who is in charge of the state of Florida, should we know if he had COVID? This is just a question I'm throwing out there. Because his fearless leader, even if you're a conservative Republican, you got to admit, he has picked up a lot of the Trump supporters. And that's good. Good for him. He's being smart. He's playing it smart. But guess what? Number 45, Donald Trump, he got COVID. Guess what he did? He disclosed it to the public. And I kind of think we need to have some of that transparency when it comes to Governor DeSantis, who could potentially, and I'll say it, the guy very well could be our next president.
Semiconductors are a huge issue. If you look at how the supply chain works, we are overly dependent on foreign nations, including Taiwan, which is a good ally of ours, but which is one that...
Uh-oh, slowing down on the backstretch. Come on. See, the further and further I got into this audio, and I was listening to it, and I was like, nope, this is definitely not edited. Because, like, he is slowing down. And I'm going through the exact same thing. The more and more I talk throughout the day, the more and more I get exhausted, the more and more, like, I'm gasping for air, the more and more that my throat has that tickle or a little bit of scratchiness in the back of it. And you got to stop what you're doing. You got to take a little bit of a break to get your legs under you and then go back on.
Excuse me. Which is one that is...
That is exactly when I knew that this audio was not edited. Because he says, excuse me. Now, I mean, it could have been he just had a flub. But that on top of the trembling voice, the deep gasp for air, and I'll admit this, Ron DeSantis, say what you want. Not a big fan of his, but he's really, really good in front of a crowd. He is an amazing public speaker. He stands up to the media. I mean, I can say the same thing about Trump. I still think the coup d'etat of public speakers when it comes to politicians, you have Bill Clinton, and then there's everybody else. Everybody thought Obama was a great public speaker. Guy had a great message. Not the greatest public speaker, in my opinion. He always started a sentence off very, very slow, and then he would speed up. Maybe that was just his, like, little gimmick. But Ron DeSantis is a good public speaker. You know, if you guys think that I hate him and I'm going to nitpick everything he does, no, I'll admit, the man can definitely control the microphone.
Under really serious pressure from the Communist Party of China. And so we have an opportunity to do more here in the United States. And I think the more we can do manufacturing of semiconductors here, the better off we'll be. So today, I'm proud to be awarding $6 million to build infrastructure that will connect Southern Osceola County to the emerging Neo City Technology District.
I'm going to cut it at there. I don't want anybody to think I'm just going after Ron DeSantis 2 days in a row, trying to knock his dick in the dirt. That's not the case. I wanted to throw out that question. Should the governor have to disclose if he had COVID or had a serious illness? Because, he's a pretty important dude in the state of Florida. And he's a very powerful man. And even if you don't like him, it's going to hurt the state of Florida if Ron DeSantis goes down. I'm just throwing it out there. I would like to hear from you. I mean, you guys can reach me on any of my social media. It's facebook.com/Tuttle, twitter.com/Tuttle, instagram.com/Tuttle. Everything is Tuttle. You can also email me, tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. I'm going to get out of here, guys. Hopefully, you guys have liked. I'm trying to get back into the swing of things. I know that I didn't do a live stream the other night, but the voice, it only has so much mileage every single day before it starts going bad. Anyways, guys, hope you enjoyed today's show. Hope you guys stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchUup.com, and PocketBearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Sirach. Show voiceover service is brought to you by JCVoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.